Welcome to the big interview on Money Life, where today we are talking right off the news, because the news on Wednesday was the Federal Reserve meeting and what the Fed did or didn't do. And here to discuss it, Doug Roberts. He is Chief Investment Strategist at the Channel Capital Research Institute. He's the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. If you want to learn about him, the Institute, his book, and more, go to channelcapitalresearch.com. Doug Roberts, great to have you back on Money Life.
Great to be back, Chuck. Always enjoy being on with you.
Now, it has actually been one entire pandemic ago. You were last on the show in March of 2020 before we got to lockdown. And, you know, one or two things have changed since then. But
to put it lightly, yes.
But the change that everybody's waiting for right now is a change from the Fed telling us something that's going to make it clear what's happening next or what's not happening next. Did we get more clarity on Wednesday?
I don't think we did. I think what the Fed is trying to do is they're doing damage control. They're trying to prevent, I guess, in Greenspan speak, irrational exuberance by putting a little uncertainty actually into the situation that rate hikes are coming down the road, possibly sooner rather than later. But what they don't want to do is they don't want to make it so soon that at that point people start to panic and then they're forced to reverse themselves. So in some ways, it's kind of like they've turned up the temperature 1 degree and they say they're going to possibly turn it up by 10 degrees over a period of time. But ultimately, they don't want to cause a panic, you know, so that people start jumping out of windows or that, in this case, jumping out of the market.
Now, they did say, hey, we're alert, we're aware of what's going on, which they should be. And they did say that a couple of rate hikes in 2023 are possible. Mm-hmm. That would mean a pretty long, comfortable runway, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. But then again, they said it could be, you know, this is preliminary, it could change. But what they wanted to do is kind of create the atmosphere that they're looking to tighten. They're no longer looking to just status quo of no changes, but they're looking to tighten. It's just the degree of the tightening is very, very low, of course, subject to change, but not too much change, just so that people, they can hope to avoid future speculation and bubbles developing, or at least try to prevent the bubbles from getting larger.
The market basically yawned at the whole thing.
Absolutely. What the market is now saying is we understand this. We hope to slow things down in the market, but you'll notice that people aren't bailing. But oftentimes what you're not seeing is now that the announcement's out of the way, people are then sitting there saying, okay, now that we've got that out of the way, let's resume path. It's kind of like in a holding pattern around the airport, if you look at it that way, if you want an analogy.
As somebody who's written a book that talks about not fighting the Fed, following the Fed to investment success.
Mm-hmm.
You got people who are worried that they may need to change their portfolio and their investment allocations because of inflation, because of the potential for rising interest rates. Is it too soon to do that? I mean, if you're going to follow the Fed to investment success, what are you doing now in light of, yeah, we're aware of inflation, we think we've got it under control, and we don't think we're going to do too much with interest rates till 2023?
I think you stay the course at this point. There's really nothing significant that's changed from yesterday to today. So whatever you were doing the day before, I think you continue to do it. I wouldn't do any massive repositioning based on this. I think you stick with your plan because there's no significant change of all of this as well. The only thing that might be a caveat is if you've been speculating, speculation may become a lot more of a dangerous activity right now in some of these stocks than you had, but the core nature of the market, it doesn't seem like it's anything happening. The only thing that could also be a caveat with that is if there's somebody out there who has a really, really bad derivatives trade that we're unaware of that starts to unwind. Now, you can say that may not happen, but if you remember, sometimes things pop out, and that could be a problem. You saw that actually with a family office that was highly leveraged a couple of months ago and had to unwind things, but even then, it was dealt with and it was kind of like a temporary hiccup. It wasn't the equivalent of 2008, 2009.
So as you look forward, is there anything other than something that you can't foresee, like a derivatives blow up, that could trigger a significant downturn? Not a correction, not a, hey, the market takes a breather, but something that takes our breath away.
I'd say something geopolitical. Right now, you just see a lot of, you know, I guess if you want to call it rhetoric on both sides, on the geopolitical, China, Russia, the United States, Iran, but you don't really see a lot of change. In other words, really, the rhetoric may have changed slightly, but the circumstances haven't changed significantly that much. With the change in presidency and the change in Congress, it's still the same. The real problem that you could have is all of a sudden somebody makes a move which is unanticipated that starts to snowball. You know, you can say that never happens, but if you look at a little over 100 years ago, that was how World War I started. Something that was considered to be a very minor event actually ended up snowballing. But thus far, that doesn't look to be happening. But if you're looking for a canary in a coal mine, that's what I would look at very, very carefully.
What are the chances that you and I will talk about a Fed meeting between now and 2023 and say, oh, the Fed didn't wait that long? The Fed has done a good job of telegraphing what its intentions are. You and I talk normally, we haven't talked much in the last 12 months, but normally we're talking a couple times a year, usually on days like this one, as the Fed is making an announcement. If you and I keep our schedule and we talk every now and again on Fed meetings, what are the chances that they just can't wait that long?
I think you're going to probably see it telegraphed much more. And I think it's going to have more to do with the Fed balance sheet and the unwinding of that rather than rate hikes itself. I think rate hikes are going to be used more toward the end, because if you look at that hiccup that we had just prior to the pandemic in 2018-2019, where kind of like Jerome Powell actually raised interest rates fairly rapidly and was forced to reverse himself, I think he's learned from that. So he's going to focus more on the balance sheet, which he can change relatively quickly and be much more vague about than rate hikes, because he used both of them before, and it was the rate hikes that got him into trouble. It wasn't really the balance sheet adjustments.
You said stay the course with your investments where things are right now. In this kind of an environment, coming out of the pandemic, where we all went into the pandemic at the same time, but we're not all coming out of it globally at the same time. There are certain parts of the world, we've got at least a temporary spike in inflation, et cetera. Where are you suggesting that folks invest? I mean, not yet time to go play defense from what you're telling me. So where are you playing offense?
I'd say right now the United States is still the best house in a bad neighborhood because of all the geopolitical uncertainty that we've talked about. In terms of inflation and the amount of money that's still going to the economy, even if it is temporary, that's going to continue to favor kind of like medium cap stocks. And right now it depends upon the day, and it's going to depend upon the shape of the yield curve. It's steepened, and therefore that has helped, you know, kind of like the so-called value renaissance that you've experienced. But now that you're starting to see the possibility that even if it's way in the future, that this steepening may turn into a flattening, you're starting to see tech stocks start to come back a little bit, because that's the nature of the beast. So if you're in tech stocks, I would continue to stay with that. But at the same time, I wouldn't abandon value, because you may just get a prolonged period where it's kind of like a seesawing performance, where tech and value tend to alternate in this little cycle that you're starting to see now without a clear outperformance of either.
In fact, if rates start to creep up, that would be one thing that might be bad for big tech, because as rates go up, and I can get a better, you know, quote unquote, free return, or a better riskless return, risk lowered risk. I never want to say risk free return. As I can get that better, I don't necessarily want to pay up for earnings. So high PE companies become less attractive to some investors. So you would think that if you're riding tech right now, you're waiting to see if you're going to have to get off it when rates go up, right?
Yeah, but it depends upon how much rates go up. If you're talking about kind of like a small rise, they may be able to adjust it. If you're talking about something where we go up to from 1% to 4%, then you're talking about a big thing, but that's going to take a lot of things down in the market. And then also the question becomes, if you again look at history, the adjustment we're talking about right now is you had a massive inflation post-war, which was kind of catch-up. But as long as the economic system, free trade, was allowed to adjust itself, that inflation was temporary and things went back to normal. And you had a period of time kind of in the late 40s, 50s, where there was very minimal inflation. It was only kind of like in the 60s when you had more war, where kind of like you had a strain on production capacity here. And you also had the Arab oil embargo, where you started having more continuous inflation. And you could conceivably possibly have that with an interruption of trade here, particularly now since we're going more toward green energy, and a lot of the components, particularly the batteries of green energy, rare earth minerals, are controlled by China and sourced overseas. But at that point, you also have to consider the possibility that maybe in 2 years, the Republicans gain control of Congress and this whole focus on the Green New Deal disappears. And then we start fracking, and that reduces gas prices and reduces inflationary pressure.
Well,
so I'm saying,
we'll have to see how that goes. We'll have you back to talk about all of that and more. Doug, always great to chat with you. No one I like talking Fed with more than you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chuck.
That's Doug Roberts. He's on Twitter at Doug S. Roberts, channelcapitalresearch.com for the Channel Capital Research Institute.